You're surrounded by friends who have tiptoed in and out of the room for the last 2 days. The doctor has told you that your death is not told you that your death is imminent, because you already know that the end is near. After you take your last breath, a doctor will come in and he will verify the death. And while your family is making final arrangements, you have already arrived at your permanent home. Just like that. Standing at the gate. You are amazed. The beauty. You are amazed at the presence of Jesus Christ. So at your leisure, you will explore your new home. It is vast. It is beautiful. It is perfect. And after you explore all of this, this is where you are going to spend eternity. So it's worth taking a look. It's worth wandering around. Oh, look at that. It's most beautiful. Oh, there's Jesus. And you're just awed with what you see. And you're just so thankful that you lived the life that you asked Jesus Christ to be your own personal Savior, because now you see the reward. Now you are here. So let's look in the book of Revelations for a few minutes. Because Revelations has the best description of the New Jerusalem. In chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, John writes this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned her husband." So the question that I have for you: what will we do in heaven? This question comes up to me all of the time. There are people that think you're just going to bitty-bop around from cloud to cloud. Them are non-believers, by the way. There are people that think that you're going to spend 100% of your time just praising God. That's going to be a large part of it. But I promise you, based on the Word of God Almighty, that you will not be bored. It will be joyous. It will be exciting. Your number one desire will be to worship God. Each job description will entail two primary responsibilities. Yeah, you're going to have a job in heaven. You bet. You're going to have a new occupation. First, there will be the worship of God. And second, there will be the serving of the Most High in whatever capacity is assigned to you. God's going to come up and say, "Casey, this is your job. This is your responsibility. Larry, this is what you're going to do. And you're going to love it. You're going to be excited to just have something that will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ." So let's look at the privilege of worship. John saw God seated upon a throne with 24 other thrones occupied by 24 elders who worship the King. That's what John saw. Jesus Christ sitting alongside the Father Almighty, and all of these elders sitting around the throne. and their number one desire is to worship God. Revelation 4 verse 5 reads, "From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and the long sustained sound of thunder." These are not bad things. These are signs that is announcing that you are in heaven. These are signs that are announcing that God Almighty is God Almighty. So, what's going on around that throne? There is uninhibited joy in spontaneous worship. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to belong to a perfect church? I've heard people say, "Well, I don't want to go to that church. It's not perfect." Well, what about this? "Nah, I don't want to go to that one. They got bad people there." I'm looking for my kind of church. Well, let me tell you something. Their kind of church is available to them. There is a perfect church. There is a church where all people are good people. This is precisely what John saw when he peered into heaven. The perfect church is found singing the praises of Christ without self-consciousness or mixed motives. You are no longer going to have to sing in this perfect church under your breath because you can't carry a right tune. I promise you, in heaven, you will hit every single note perfectly because it's a perfect church. If we want to prepare for our final destination, we should begin to worship God here on earth. We have this awesome, unbelievable opportunity that you don't normally get. And that is, while we are here on earth, we can practice worshiping God. We can practice singing perfectly. We can practice what it's going to be like while we are in heaven. How many tasks come before you in your life where you have had an opportunity to practice before you had to do it? There's been a lot of them. I do it every week. I write my sermon, and I probably practice this thing 3 or 4 times at least before I get up here on Sunday morning. But even then, it's still not perfect. But the beauty of it is doing what I do and doing what you do and you do and you do in your practice brings attention to Jesus Christ and prepares you for your life in the perfect church. Our arrival in heaven will only be a continuation of what we have already begun. Praise is the language of heaven and the language of the faithful here on earth. That's what we speak. We disguise it as English, German, French, all of these other languages, but the one language is common for all believers and people that worship God, and that language is called praise. And we have to practice it here on earth. But in heaven, that language called praise will be natural. It will be the only language that you need in that perfect church. Service to the Lord through worship shall occupy much of our time in heaven. We will also be assigned responsibilities that commensurates with the faithfulness we displayed here on earth. Now, the more you praise God, the more you worship Him, the more you accept Him as your Savior, the more you do for Him, the more you follow His commandments, the more you do the tasks that He asks us to do, the better position you're going to have in heaven. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that you're going to have a bad position in heaven. Nothing in heaven is bad. So what responsibilities will we have? I think it's reasonable to assume that there is continuity between the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. Everyone in heaven will be happy. Everyone in heaven will be fulfilled. You're not going to have to look for something. You know, I just don't feel full. There's something missing in my life. That is gone. Not going to happen anymore. Everyone will be assigned a place in the administration of the vast heavenly kingdom. But just as there are varied responsibilities in the palaces of the kings here on earth, it's the same in heaven. Some will be given more prominent responsibilities than others. Heaven is not a place of inactivity or boredom. It is not, as a Sunday school pupil thought, an interminable worship service where we begin on page one of the hymnal and sing all the way through all of the songs, all of the verses. Casey will not be the hymn sing leader in heaven. It's so much fun picking on you, Casey. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. We love you. God will have productive work for us to do. We will increase our knowledge of Him, and we will increase our knowledge of His wondrous works. How can you not? You're standing face to face with Jesus Christ. How can you not expand your knowledge? It's no different than meeting a new friend. And the more time you spend together, the more you get to know each other. It will be the same in heaven. Fortunately, heaven will not have everything. In fact, there are lots of things that you will not find in heaven. The Apostle John gives us a list in Revelations that many different experiences and realities known on earth that will be absent in heaven. So John said this, no more death. The hearses will go out of business. They will have made their last journey. Death will not enter heaven. It is life, eternal life. There'll be no more funeral services. Oh boy, am I for that. Wow. There'll be no tombstones. There'll be no tearful goodbyes. There will be no more sorrow. We can read the newspaper, and sorrow is written on every page, especially in the day that we live today. Everything reported is tragic. An automobile accident takes the life of a young father. And we read about a child who's raped by a madman. Or a flood in Bangladesh that kills 20,000. No one can fathom the amount of emotional pain borne by the inhabitants of this world in any single moment. In heaven, there will be uninterrupted joy and emotional tranquility. Is that awesome or what?
Amen.
Thank you. There will be no more crying. No one could possibly calculate the buckets of tears that are shed every single moment in this hurting world. From the child crying because of the death of a parent to the man or woman weeping because of a failed marriage or a lost spouse. So multiply those tears by a million and you will realize that we live in a crying world. In heaven, he who wipes away our sins now wipes away our tears. So this comment has raised the question of why there would be tears in heaven in the first place. I don't think God's word is telling us literally there'll be no more tears. I think John wants us to understand that God will give us an explanation for the sorrow we experience on earth so that we will not have to cry anymore. Now imagine this. You're standing at the pearly gates and they open up. And there you stand face to face with Jesus Christ. And he explains to you before you step through them gates, all of the sorrows and all of the things in your life that cause tears. And once you have he has explained that to you, there is no reason to cry anymore. There is no more tears. Because now you understand why there were tears here on earth and why there will not be tears in heaven. Remember, it's a perfect church. The question is often asked how we can be happy in heaven if one or more of our relatives are in hell. I've been asked that question several times. Well, if I get to heaven and I don't see my dad, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to cry. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I promise you. Well, I shouldn't say that. I will tell you this morning that when you get to heaven, you are not going to find everybody that you've known and loved. Some are not going to be there. It is unlikely that we will know less in heaven than we do on earth. In heaven, we will have better mental faculties than on earth. We shall be comforted not because we know less than we did on earth, but because we know more. We know more. We're going to understand why this particular loved one was not in heaven. We are going to have additional knowledge. We're not only going to have it explained to us and we're going to understand it, but our comprehension of the situation will be 100% complete. It's more likely that God will wipe away all tears by explaining his ultimate purpose. We will look at heaven and hell from his viewpoint and say that he did all things well. I expect that all who are in heaven and will live with the knowledge that justice was fully served and that God's plan was right. Because he explains it to us. There will be no more pain in heaven. pain, which is the result of sin, is banished forever. No headaches, no slipped disc, no more surgeries, no more broken hips. We will not fall down in heaven and injure ourselves. No more emotional pain because of rejection. There will be no rejection in heaven. We will all love each other. There'll be no more separation, no more abuse. There will be no more abominations in heaven that are things that are vile or shameful or detestable. They won't exist in heaven. Nothing unclean will ever enter heaven, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false will enter heaven, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember, as we stand before the judgment throne, and the first thing God does is look in His book. And if you're not in it, He's going to tell you, I know you no more. If you are in it, He's going to show you what direction to go to get to the pearly gates. There will be no more hunger or thirst in heaven. Those burdens borne by the multitude of the present world will vanish forever. In their place will be the tree of life and the beauty of the paradise of God. Those things that cast such a cover or shroud of gloom over the earth today will be replaced by indescribable happiness in the presence of the divine glory. So I'm reminded of a song that we sing so often. If I'd have been really, really sharp, we would have sang it this morning. But I'm going to read you the lyrics. Listen to the lyrics rather than focusing on the tune. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me, only faintly now I see Him with the darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond that starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by. Does that give you chills? I got chills. Just reading them words just gives me chills. And so while your family tends to your funeral, you are beholding the face of Christ. Though the family weeps at your departure, you would not return to heaven even if the choice was given you. Because having seen heaven, you will find that earth has lost all of its attractions. The great preacher Tony Evans said this: have a good time at my funeral because I'm not going to be there. But you have these thoughts. You only wish that those you left behind would know how important it is to be faithful to Christ. Look at it from the other side of the curtain. Knowing what is now so clear to you, you wish that you could shout down to earth, encouraging believers to serve Christ with all their hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, children, sons, daughters, aunts, uncles, as you look down there, straighten it out. Do what's right because it is worth it. You hope that they hear you. So my challenge is this morning, why are you not doing that today? Why are we not encouraging our loved ones to seek Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior? Why can we not explain to them through the Word of God how great heaven really is? How can we explain to them that I want to see you in heaven? We have a great relationship today, but it's going to be better when we both get there. Suddenly you realize that not everyone will have your experience. Some people, millions of them, will be lost forever because they did not take advantage of Christ's sacrifice on their behalf. You weep as you think of all of the people still on earth who most probably will not make it there. You know that you would weep forever, except that God comes to wipe the tears from your eyes. I want to tell you this morning that this is all true. Every single word of it. We have the inspired word of God that we can read, and we know that it's true. We know that it's just exactly as Jesus Christ has said. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. We're going to do our communion this morning a little bit different than what we're used to. I'm going to ask you to come forward at the right time, and we'll take communion here at the table.